Aren't you glad Jesus is alive? Amen. If Christ be not risen, we would be yet in our sins. But praise God, Christ is risen from the dead. We celebrate the life of Christ Jesus and His sacrifice that He bore on the cross for us. I'd like to just briefly look at these scriptures concerning Jesus' resurrection. And then we want to look at another scripture to bring it practical home to us concerning Christ's resurrection. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 44, breaking in, about the sixth hour there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. Jesus, who spoke to dead Lazarus, come forth, and he came forth. Jesus, who went about doing good and casting out devils and healing the sick and ministering life to those who were in bondage and in death, Himself tasted death for us as He hung there on that cross, and His life was flowing out of Him as the blood was dripping from His wounds in His hands and His feet, and life was expiring. With one last cry, He cried, Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit, and He gave up the ghost. And those that were standing by smote their breasts. They said, surely this was the Son of God. Those who moments earlier were mocking Him and asking, if You be the Son of God, why don't You come down from the cross? Now they were smitten in their conscience. Surely this is the Son of God. And they smote on their breasts. And they went away from the cross. And all His acquaintance and the women that followed Him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor. He was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the counsel and the deed of them. He did not agree to the counsel and the deeds of them to put Jesus to death. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews. Also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man had a faith and a hope and a longing and an expectation for the kingdom of God to come. And this man, he went unto Pilate, and he begged the body of Jesus, and he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation. And the Sabbath drew on, and the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after, and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointment and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Jesus, whom they loved, Jesus who had ministered to them, Jesus who had cast out the devils out of Mary Magdalene, Jesus who had made them every whit whole, Jesus who poured out Himself for them, was laid in a tomb, and they saw it. They beheld it. And they prepared spices and ointment for the one they loved to anoint His body. And it was the Sabbath, and they rested the Sabbath according to the commandment. And the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they came with their spices, with their ointments, very early in the morning. Perhaps a morning like this. Bright red this morning, lovely display in the sky of God's glory. And as they were moving and making their way toward the tomb with the spices and the ointments to anoint the body of Jesus, I can imagine their hearts were burdened and they were wondering and in expectation of what would happen next. And they came and found the tomb where Jesus was laid, and something was different. The stone was rolled away from the mouth of the tomb. That great seal that they had sealed upon that tomb, and that guard that they had set, they were all gone. The seal upon the tomb was broken and the stone was rolled away. Very carefully, in wonder, they entered in to seek the body of Jesus, whom they loved, to anoint Him. But the tomb was empty. He wasn't there. They were much perplexed. Where have they taken Him? Where have they laid Him? Other scriptures tell us. Where is our beloved Jesus? Where have they taken His body? And behold, two men stood by them in shining garment. Oh, children, listen. These two men stood by there in shining garments, whiter than snow, whiter than anything you ever saw, whiter than the whitest shirt or the whitest garment you could imagine. Their garments were shining. And the women were afraid and they bowed down. I think I would too. I think you would too. Two men in shining garments standing there. And the women were afraid. They bowed down their faces to the earth. And then these two men spake to the women and said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? Or why seek ye Jesus in the tomb? He's not here. He is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet with you in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered His words. And they returned from the sepulchre and told all the things unto the 11 and unto all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Oh, they were bubbling over with joy and with gladness as they told the apostles these things. But the apostles, they, like the women, there was perplexity. Jesus, whom we thought was to be the deliverer, we saw Him die. We saw Him being laid in the tomb. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Oh, but then Peter, in the midst of the apostles, he arose, and he snuck out from the others, and he broke into a run toward the sepulchre. "I must go see." And he ran, and he came to the sepulchre, and stooping down, he went in, and he beheld the linen clothes lie there by themselves, and saw the empty tomb, saw the clothes lying there. And he was wondering in himself at what which this was that came to pass. Then we have that lovely interjection of the two walking along the road to Emmaus. And I think for sake of time, we won't read all of that account. But it is a lovely account. You can read it sometime for your edification. And then, if we drop in at verse 36, as the disciples were together, the apostles were together, and they were speaking together, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted. It seems like sheer terror gripped them. It says they were terrified and affrighted. They supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And they saw. What did they see in His hands and His feet, children? What did they see? The disciples, the apostles, as they looked at Jesus' hands and His feet. What was different about His hands and His feet? What was it? Somebody tell me? There was holes there. What made those holes? Nails, yes. The nails that they nailed through His hands and His feet. And when the apostles saw Jesus alive in their presence and beheld His hands and His feet, they believed and they rejoiced. While they yet believed not for joy, it seems there was a bewilderment, almost a wonderment. Believe not for joy, because it's Him. It's Jesus. He's alive. He rose from the dead as He said He would. And they were in awe and wonder and full of joy. Then Jesus said, Do you have any meat here? Anything to eat here? He wanted to dispel any lingering thought that they're just seeing a spirit. This isn't really happening. This is just some sort of vision or dream. Have you any meat? And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb, and He took it and did eat before them. And He said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Oh, wouldn't you have loved to be there that day? As Jesus opened unto them their understanding and He opened unto them the Scriptures. Thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And He led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed them, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. You know, all the other gods' tombs, they're all still filled. They're all still occupied. Muhammad, Hare Krishna, you can name anyone you want. Reverend Moon, they still lie in their tombs. But hallelujah, the tomb where Jesus was laid is empty. He is not here. He is risen, and He is seated at the right hand of the Father today, making intercession for us. Well, we want to look just a bit at the Word of the Lord here concerning this resurrection and what it means to us. We believe the record that God gave of His Son. Amen? Do you believe the record that God gave of His Son? We need no other argument, no other plea. We believe the Scriptures. As it is recorded in the Scriptures that Christ died for our sins and He rose again and He's seated at the right hand of the Father this morning interceding for us, and He is coming again to receive His bride. I asked a man the other day, do you believe the record that God gave of His Son? He said, I don't get too far into that stuff. Friend, do you believe the record that God gave of His Son? What do you believe if you don't believe the record that God gave of His Son? He was becoming more and more uncomfortable, and he kept turning his back toward me. But he was cutting some keys for me, so I had him captive for a little while to share the gospel with him. I believe the record, and I know you do too, that Jesus Christ died and rose again for our sins, and that He's coming again. But you know, it's more than to just believe the record. That's lovely. We must start there. By faith, we believe it and we receive it. But God wants this to be applied into our lives. I had to think here. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in Jerusalem, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now open your Bible with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and here is Paul pouring out in his testimony his desire before the Lord. In Philippians 3 verse 10, he says, that I may know Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His suffering, be made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You know, here's Paul, a servant of Christ. He knows the Lord. Don't you think? Sure he does. He knows Jesus Christ. He knows what it is to be born again, to be saved. But there is a deep, longing desire in his heart. Oh, to know the fullness of Jesus Christ. Oh, to be filled with the Holy Spirit continually. Oh, to be endued with power from on high. Oh, that I may know Him, the Lord Jesus, and the power of His resurrection. What is your longing, desire, and pursuit? Here is Paul walking with Jesus for many years already, and yet still longing for a fuller revelation, for a deeper understanding, for a fuller communion and baptism of the Holy Ghost in his own life. Oh, that I may know Him. Let's also turn over to Romans 8. You have your Bibles with you this morning, I encourage you. Let's look at the Scriptures here. Romans 8, verse 11. And we're just breaking in on some of these Scriptures for a matter of time. Romans 8, verse 11. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Do you long for more of the resurrection life of Christ Jesus in you? Do you long to know Him more intimately, more deeply? Do you long for that power of Christ to have full control in your life. You long for a deeper walk with Jesus, for a closer walk. Do you have areas in your life that death reigns? Areas where there's death, where you're dead in trespasses, where you're dead in sins, and sin has a grip over you, and you need life to be spoken into that area. You need a resurrection. You need a deliverance. You need a transformation by the power of God. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. As I was pondering this little meditation, this little message this morning, I just couldn't help but think of my dear brother Denny and how he longed for revival. Oh Lord, how You did it in the days gone by, when men were so full of the Holy Ghost that when they walked into a place of business or a place of work, the presence of God was just so mighty upon them that people sensed the very Spirit of God, and people would come under conviction and cry out to the Lord and call on the Lord to be saved, and God moved by His mighty power. Oh, I had to think of my dear brother Denny, and I longed to see God stretch forth His hand yet again and work mightily in revival. And I know there's some of you here that long for that. I hope we all long for that. Lord Jesus, that You would stretch forth Your hand and that there would be signs and wonders done in the name of Jesus, and the glory of God manifested, and the resurrection power of Jesus be seen in my life. Amen. But what does hinder me? Go back again to Philippians, and let's look at Paul's testimony. Paul's testimony was, in Philippians 3, verse 7, what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Maybe I'm holding some things too dear in my life. I'm not willing to count them loss so that I might win Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. When we take all the things that the world has to offer and we stack them up on one side, and then we take the excellency of the glory of the knowledge of Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection, what an awful trade-off to hold on to these things and not win Christ, and Christ win me, and apprehend me, and I apprehend Him. I count all things loss for Christ. I do count them but rubbish. I count them but dung. I count them worthless in comparison to knowing Christ, in comparison to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Oh yes, and the fellowship of His suffering. You see, the power of the resurrection through suffering comes the power of the resurrection. Death worketh in us, but life in you. But I don't want to suffer. I want to hold on to my rights. I want to hold on to my reputation. I want to hold on to the fact that I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. And I'm a Pharisee. I have a good education. Went to the school of Gamaliel. What is it that you want to hold on to? Oh, this morning I want this message to be a word of encouragement to our hearts. It is the will of God that we all be endued with power from on high. It's the will of God that we all be able to walk in that resurrection power and life of Jesus Christ. It's the will of God that we be full of the Holy Ghost. This is the will of God. But what am I trading off? You know what we really want? What we really pursue? Where we really put our effort? We usually get it, don't we? Right, men? Where we really invest our energies and our time and our focus. What is hindering me? What is hindering you? You know, I think of it, of how sorry I will be for the other things I allowed to creep in and rob me of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ every day of my life. Don't you think so? What an awful trade-off. To be entertained, to be amused, to be well-fed, because I love good food. I've had all kinds of sleep because I love sleep. But neglect God and the place of seeking the Lord. You know, Jesus said, shut yourself in with God in your secret closet. Get alone with God and there you will see God. And there God will reward you openly. Don't you want that kind of a life? Where your life is rewarded by the God of heaven? Openly? Don't you want the kind of life where you know the presence of Jesus as you walk through life and the power of His resurrection in your life? You know, I'm as needy as you all are, any one of us. We are needy together and long to see the Lord God work. But you know, He's not just going to step down and do it. I think every revival throughout major history, church history, can be traced, as one author put it, to some kneeling figures who were not satisfied with the status quo of the day. With business as usual and the low ebb of spiritual life. And I want this message to not be condemning in any way. But I know for me, I need the work of God in my heart continually, afresh and anew. And somehow as we go through life and what's normal just becomes normal, right? Lord, lift up our eyes. Lift up the standard. Well, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God wants to pour out His Spirit upon His people. I want to leave you with a promise, and there's many promises. You see, Jesus said to the apostles, He said, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued on high with the what? The promise of my Father. What was that promise? That promise was that if I go away, I will send the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, and He shall come upon you, and He shall be in you, and He shall teach you all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. The Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the resurrection. Hallelujah! The resurrection. Do you have areas in your life that need the touch of the resurrection, the resurrected Christ, the power of Christ. Wherever the apostles went after the day of Pentecost and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, even just the shadow of Peter falling on some, they were touched by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. Send forth Thy Spirit, O Lord. Revive the church today. Lord, dark is the hour. We need Thy infilling, Thy love, and Thy mighty power. Move now among us, we pray, and send forth Your Spirit upon the church today. And upon me. I'm not above You. But I want to leave you with this promise, then I'll close. Luke chapter 11. You know, when we pray and we ask God anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. If we ask anything according to His will, Brother Mel, you quote that scripture so often, I just love it. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him because we know that He heareth us. Maybe you don't have the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Maybe I don't have the fullness of the Holy Ghost because of sin in my life. That could well be. Maybe I'm walking in disobedience. Maybe I don't have the fullness of the Holy Ghost because I'm distracted with other things. And I'm being amused and entertained by the trivial, frivol things that are going to pass away. When I could be sitting at the feet of Jesus and drinking of the water of life freely. Maybe we're not spending time at the feet of Jesus. Maybe that's the problem. Well, maybe we aren't asking either. You have not because you ask not. Look to this promise in Luke chapter 11. I say unto you, ask, verse 9, and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For a few that ask, receive. Is that what He says? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it might be opened. Did I misquote it? It shall be opened. Now, just to give you a little story, as Jesus often did, a very practical story to illustrate this, He said, if a son asks bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? And the implied answer is, of course not. He wouldn't do that to his own son whom he loves. If he asks an egg, we offer him a scorpion? Will he give him something evil? And then He says, if you then being evil, being born and conceived in sin and iniquity, and having an evil nature, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? I want to leave you with that promise. You, dear mother, with your little children by your side, you can just every morning, or as the Lord leads, you can just say, dear Lord God, I come to You this morning. I thank You, Lord Jesus, that You rose from the grave victorious and that Your resurrection power is available to me today to do the laundry, to take care of my little ones, to clean the house. Lord Jesus, You are my strength. You are my song. You're my life. God wants to bless you, dear mother, with your little ones by your side. Dad, this morning, God wants to bless you. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. But you might have to push aside some other things and get in your closet with God and there tarry and ask the Lord, oh God, I need to be endued with power. I am weak. I cringe. I don't have the power to witness as I ought. And let that drive you to the Savior. And draw you to the Savior. He wants to fill you with His Spirit. Dear widow, dear grandma, dear single mom, whoever you are, God wants to fill you with His Spirit. That same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead, dwelling in you and quickening your mortal body to give you victory over discouragement, over the disappointments in life, and there are many. If the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, my brother, my sister, the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. I need that in my life. Hallelujah, He rose victorious. And therefore, as we are planted in the likeness of His death and are partakers in the likeness of His death, we also are planted in the likeness of His resurrection and are sharers in His resurrection power. Amen, church. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I just want to urge us, let's press into the Lord. Let's press into the kingdom of God. The violent take it by force. I believe one of the devices of Satan in these last days is to flood us with so many distractions and toys and amusements and pleasures that we lose our way. God have mercy. Let the Holy Spirit fall and revive thy church today. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Let's pray. Let's kneel together and pray. Oh, Father, we come. Lord, we come needy, thirsty, hungry, Lord, longing, desiring to see thy glory and thy power, Lord Jesus. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that in your kindness, in your tender mercies, Lord, and in your faithfulness, O God, you would lay upon my heart, upon our hearts, Lord. What is the problem? Where is the need? Where's the disconnect, or where's the weakness or the lack? Oh, Father, I pray, visit us again, Lord, in your mighty power and outpouring of your Spirit. But Lord, I know you said you give the Holy Ghost to those that obey you. Lord, show us our disobedience. Show us our sin. Show us our lukewarmness, our laxness, our indifference, Lord. And then show us the resurrection power of Jesus. Oh Lord, we are so grateful. We're so thankful that Jesus rose from the dead. And Lord, that you gave that authority and power of the Holy Ghost. And it's your will that we wouldn't be drunk with wine, but we'd be filled with the Spirit. Oh, precious Jesus, I need you. I need your reviving, your cleansing power, your Holy Spirit, to be endued with power from on high, the resurrection power. Oh, Lord, we love you. We love thy kingdom. And Lord, we love this thy people. And Father, I pray you would bless this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.
A little phrase came to my mind as Aaron was finishing his message. We are as close to God as we want to be. I am as close to God as I want to be. You are as close to God as you want to be. Do you believe that's true? He said in His Word, if we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. So doesn't that say, I'm as close to Him as I want to be? That was convicting to me. I believe that's true. I'm as close to God as I want to be. Why wouldn't I want to be close to God? Why wouldn't we want to? Who wouldn't want to be close to God? Our spirit that's born again, that is Christ's spirit, wants to be close to God. Loves to be close to God. But flesh doesn't like being close to God. Because when flesh gets close to God, something's got to die. I'd like us to think about that this week and meditate on that. I'm as close to God as I really want to be. Does that convict you like it does me? I believe it's true. I agree with Aaron when he said that I think the devil's trick in our day is to flood the earth with so many things, so many distractions, so much to do, good stuff, that we don't have time. And he's looking for those people who are going to be strong and do exploits in such a day as this. They're going to be the people that know their God. Let's be those people. It's available. Maybe someone else has something to share this morning. Okay, we have one there, over there.
I just had a thought. Something that Zach Poonen said when he was here this past summer was that he described faith as being is the belief that God is more eager to give us what we need than what we are eager to receive it. And I just thought of that right on the heels of what you mentioned, Brother Paul, about we are as close to God as what we want to be. He said faith is the belief that God is more eager to give us what we need than what we are eager to receive it.
Amen. That's right. Go ahead.
Yeah, praise the Lord for the message today. I was very touched, and God convicted me on maybe about a half a year ago here. I was just after I was living with another family. I know something happened there in my heart. I believe the Lord met me in a powerful and mighty way where I guess you could say just the Spirit of God just moved upon my heart, and I was just I guess you could say just maybe the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was everything in me, just God just broke, like every single ounce of pride, everything that I was trying to hold on to, I just wept before the Lord. And I believe that God did something so beautiful in me, and that He wants to do through every single person here. I believe it with all of my heart. He wants to do it with every single person. But there's got to be a longing, a desire to want to know God. And there's got to be something in your heart that you see there's greatly wrong with my Christian life, and that we need a second encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I truly believe with all of my heart that we must have it to fulfill the full purpose of God in our lives. And the verse here and that Paul shared is that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And he says here, the fellowship of His sufferings. And I believe that we must be willing to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ if we're going to accomplish great things for God. Because even Christ suffered and left in us an example to do the same. And if we're not willing to be counted as fools for God and just, you know, people laughing at us and whatever, then I'm not sure if we're worthy to be Christ, you know, to be His children. Because it says that I may know Him in the power of His sufferings. The fellowship of His sufferings. And Paul knew what that meant. And I believe that we're living in a day that's so pleasure-fulfilled society. We've got electronics that just... I believe these things can be a blessing. I'm not totally against these things. But I'm saying that maybe like what Aaron said, these things can draw us away from Christ in a very sly way, in a very, we might not even notice it. And I believe we really need to be on guard, and we need to seek the Lord with all of our hearts. So thank you, brother, for sharing. God bless you.
Is there another microphone?
Yes, why did Jesus, why was Jesus willing to die? Why did he rise again? I think Aaron said it very, very well. Aaron spoke about revival. And everywhere we go, we hear that cry, we need revival, we need revival. And many times the reason that churches do not experience revival is they are looking for revival as a church. Revival starts in the heart of an individual. And I believe with all my heart that for we may be seeing revival, but for us to see more revivals here at Charity Christian Fellowship, I believe it will start in one of the hearts sitting here today. We were just talking in the discipleship class about praising in, I'm not sure if I can find it quick enough here. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." The other verse that we had looked at was giving thanks always for all things unto God. And the question came up, how is this possible? The only way that this is possible is that there are many Christians today that have received the Holy Ghost. They have been born of the Spirit. But the only way that we can walk in this is if the outer man is broken. Our outer man must be broken. Our outer man must submit to the inner man. And for that to happen, it's like Brother Aaron said, the violent take it by force. We have to be forceful with that. In order to break through, we really need to be forceful. And once that happens, the Spirit is released within us. It's a wonderful thing, and I think it's available to everyone here.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.